Welcome to the Dakota Midday Book Club from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Before she wrote her beloved Little House on the Prairie series for children, Laura Ingalls Wilder penned an autobiography called Pioneer Girl. Written for adults, the book presents a somewhat darker, grittier first-person account of life as a pioneer in the Midwest. Pioneer Girl was rejected by publishers, but Wilder's manuscript served as source material for the Little House books. And now, more than 80 years later, the South Dakota Historical Society Press published Wilder's original manuscript for the first time in an extensively annotated volume edited by author and Wilder scholar Pamela Smith Hill. Hill grew up in Springfield, Missouri, about an hour from Laura Ingalls Wilder's Rocky Ridge Farm, where Wilder wrote the Little House books. Hill graduated from USD and launched a professional writing career in South Dakota. Hill published her first book for young adults, Ghost Horses, in 1996. She's also the author of Laura Ingalls Wilder, A Writer's Life, also published by the South Dakota Historical Society Press. This spring, she's teaching an online course through Missouri State University, exploring Wilder's work and writing life, and she'll be at Laura Palooza in Brookings this July. Pamela Smith Hill lives in Portland, Oregon, and she joins us from Rec Studios. And Pamela, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
Well, Pamela, to begin with, given the immense popularity of Laura Ingalls Wilder, why wasn't Pioneer Girl published until now?
Well, when Wilder finished completing Pioneer Girl in May 1930, American publishing was already moving into the depths of the Great Depression. And although Wilder received some complimentary rejection letters from publishers, she was attempting to get the manuscript published primarily through magazine publishers. And they had a huge backlog of material already from more prosperous days, and they simply couldn't accept it. They just weren't ready for an autobiographical pioneer setting. So the manuscript kind of went out of circulation probably around 1933. But as you've already mentioned, Wilder continued to use it as the foundation for her Little House books. Jumping ahead to the 1970s and 1980s, Pioneer Girl had a near miss in the early 1980s as far as being published. But publishers, I think, balked because Pioneer Girl was written for adults and not children and had a more adult voice. I think now, because there's such a renewed interest in Laura Ingalls Wilder's work and, of course, her life, the timing was right for an annotated autobiography that would place Pioneer Girl in context with the other manuscripts that Wilder wrote. She wrote and revised several, as well as placing it in context with her Little House novels.
Now, the version of Pioneer Girl that's in the book published by the Historical Society Press, now this is the original first draft that she wrote out in hand in Big Chief tablets?
Yes, exactly. It seemed appropriate to use Wilder's rough draft manuscript because there has been so many questions about Wilder's authorship and her talent as a writer. And working with her rough draft manuscript lays to rest many of those questions. But as any good writer does, Wilder revised Pioneer Girl, and there are several different versions of the manuscript. I think Wilder probably would cringe to know that readers are looking at her rough draft. I think all writers would shudder at the thought of that. And yet, given all of the controversy about Wilder's authorship, it seemed the most appropriate and the most authentic way to go.
Well, let's go back to 1929, 1930, when she first started writing Pioneer Girl. She had already been a writer. She had been writing for a newspaper and magazine columns before then?
Yes. The myth about Laura Ingalls Wilder is that she simply sat down and wrote the story of her life and was an immediate success. In fact, Laura Ingalls Wilder had an extensive professional career. She Started working for the Missouri Ruralist, which was the largest agricultural newspaper in Missouri, in 1911. She was a columnist and went on to become a page editor for the magazine and or the newspaper, and she continued to write for the Missouri Ruralist until the mid-1920s. She also, working with her daughter, author Rose Wilder Lane, developed three magazine articles for prominent national magazines of the day, McCall's Magazine and The Country Gentleman. Those were published in 1919 and the early 1920s.
And was she writing much about her memories growing up in those columns?
It's very interesting to take a look at Wilder's columns for the Missouri Ruralist because they cover a range of topics. She writes about current events. She writes about agricultural techniques. She provides advice for farm women. But several of the columns, particularly as she spent more time with the Ruralist, were more personal in nature and covered some of the episodes that readers are familiar with in the Little House series.
Now, you mentioned her daughter, Rose Wilder Lane, and she was already a very successful writer. If we can just talk a little bit about her writing career and how that relates to what eventually evolved into Pioneer Girl and then the Little House books.
Rose Wilder Lane launched her professional writing career about the same time as her mother. Around 1910, 1911, she initially wrote for a couple of Kansas City newspapers. She married Gillette Lane, moved to San Francisco, and launched a career with the San Francisco Bulletin. Rose Wilder Lane was a very ambitious writer, and unlike her mother, she craved what she called the big markets. And while she was living in San Francisco, she branched out to write for such prominent magazines as Sunset and Good Housekeeping. During the 1920s, she published both fiction and nonfiction. So by the end of the decade, by 1928, 1929, Rose Wilder Lane was a well-known literary figure and one of the best-paid American women writers of the age.
Now, what's interesting, you know, from a contemporary point of view, looking back at her approach to nonfiction, she wrote some biographies. When you look at some of the controversies today that have come up with memoirs that aren't necessarily accurate, that was sort of her attitude as well, it seems, with her nonfiction. It was more about the story than getting all the facts right?
I think you're absolutely right. Rose Wilder Lane, as I said earlier, was a very ambitious writer, and she was interested in making a story marketable, making it sell, and building a lot of reader interest into a piece. So if she wasn't exactly accurate, if she wasn't exactly factual, Lane would sacrifice facts for a better story, and she did that again and again in her career. And as you've mentioned, that certainly has been an issue as it relates to the Little House books as well.
Did that, the attitude of Rose Wilder Lane, did that have any impact then on her mother? Was there much of an influence then on Laura Ingalls Wilder's perspective on being accurate and being truthful in the things that she wrote?
Well, you have to remember, too, that Laura Ingalls Wilder was primarily writing fiction, although she was writing autobiographical historical fiction. Writers of fiction can soften the truth. They do have the ability to use poetic license to tell a better story, and certainly Laura Ingalls Wilder did that throughout the writing of the Little House books. However, in terms of Pioneer Girl, there is one extended account in the final draft of Pioneer Girl, which seems to illustrate the influence that Rose Wilder Lane may have played over her mother. And it relates to the Benders of Kansas and their rather grisly and sensational mass murder case. And in that version of Pioneer Girl, Wilder included an episode where Pa actually has contact with the Benders and is one of the vigilantes who rides to try to bring them to justice. We know that this could not have been the case because the Ingalls family had already left Indian Territory, present-day Kansas, and moved back to the Big Woods of Wisconsin when the Bender mass murders were first discovered. But one can assume, given Rose Wilder Lane's predilection to use a bit of fiction to augment nonfiction, that the Bender episode may have originated with Rose Wilder Lane, and they inserted it into the manuscript very early in Pioneer Girl to catch an editor's attention and perhaps make Pioneer Girl more marketable.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. My guest is author and teacher Pamela Smith Hill. She's the editor of Laura Ingalls Wilder's Pioneer Girl, the annotated autobiography. You're welcome to join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-524-3604. You can also email us at midday@sdpb.org. You can also reach me on Twitter at CarlSDPB. Now, going back to Pioneer Girl, what led to Laura Ingalls Wilder sitting down and writing the autobiography? Was that her idea?
Unfortunately, Laura Ingalls Wilder did not keep a journal in the traditional sense. She only kept a couple of travel diaries in her lifetime. So we don't have any record as to why Laura Ingalls Wilder began to write Pioneer Girl. It is possible that Laura Ingalls Wilder was prompted to write down the facts of her life after the death of her sister Mary in 1928. There are kind of scraps of correspondence between Laura Ingalls Wilder and Rose Wilder Lane that indicated that Wilder had been thinking about writing an autobiography, or at least writing about her past, from the late teens all the way through the 1920s, and in fact, it could have been Mary's death that prompted her. We also know that shortly after Charles Ingalls' death, all the way back in 1902, Wilder apparently was prompted to write about her memories of living in Dakota Territory along Silver Lake. There's a scrap of autobiographical writing dating from this period that remains. But we don't have any concrete reasons. Wilder did not say why she sat down to write the autobiography. And although Rose Wilder Lane kept very, very meticulous journals throughout her lifetime, the first hint that we have that her mother was working on an autobiography is when she presented it as a fait accompli to Rose Wilder Lane in May 1930.
Now, this was the early days of the Depression, and was there any interest or need to, on both part of Rose Wilder Lane and Laura Ingalls Wilder, to find a way to make money to help with getting in some income?
Yes, that's a very good question. In 1928, Rose Wilder Lane had presented her parents with, by the standards of the 1930s, a very lavish retirement home. It's actually built on Rocky Ridge Farm. It's now known as the Rock House. Rose Wilder Lane built it as a kind of combination English cottage, Ozark, kind of from the land, arts and crafts kind of bungalow. It was really quite beautiful. And she went over budget. She spent considerably more. And then, of course, as the Depression deepened after the crash in 1929, Rose Wilder Lane writes often in her diaries about her concern about making ends meet and bringing in more money to Rocky Ridge Farm. She, by the way, was living in the farmhouse at that time. And for some reason, her own career seemed to have stalled temporarily in the early 1930s. Her short stories were either, in part because the magazine publishing business had fallen on hard times as well. So, yes, I think both women were concerned about bringing more income into the farm and into the family.
Now, whose idea was it then to take the stories in Pioneer Girl and turn them into books for children?
Well, first I should say that Laura Ingalls Wilder was interested in writing for children long before 1930, when she finished Pioneer Girl. In 1915, when she was visiting her daughter Rose in San Francisco, she published several short poems for children in the San Francisco Bulletin, and for the first time she used the byline, Laura Ingalls Wilder. As a writer for the Missouri Ruralist, Wilder usually used the byline Mrs. A.J. Wilder, or sometimes she wrote under her husband's name itself, A.J. Wilder. So we know that Wilder was interested in writing for children much earlier than the 1930s. However, it seems as if the idea to use some scenes from Pioneer Girl and put them into the context of fiction for children originated with Rose. During the summer of 1930, when Lane and Wilder's first attempt to market Pioneer Girl to Lane's literary agent had failed, the two of them began work on yet another version of Pioneer Girl, an adult version, and it included, as I mentioned earlier, the Bender episode, for example. And in the process of editing this final draft, which is now known as the Bi manuscript of Pioneer Girl, several episodes from Wilder's childhood in Wisconsin ended up on the cutting room floor, apparently because Lane and Wilder felt that they were too juvenile, that they wouldn't appeal to adult readers. But at some point during the summer of 1930, Rose Wilder Lane collected all of those episodes, all those scenes that had been cut and left behind, and she restructured them into a third-person narrative. We now call that manuscript When Grandma Was a Little Girl. And she sent it to someone in New York who had a background in children's literature. Lane's diary doesn't reveal to whom she sent the juvenile Pioneer Girl manuscript, but it was probably her friend Berta Hayter, who was an illustrator and writer of children's books. We do know that Hayter was involved later on in 1931 with negotiations between Rose Wilder Lane, Laura Ingalls Wilder, and the children's book editor from Alfred Knopf, who first expressed interest in the juvenile Pioneer Girl manuscript.
In looking at Pioneer Girl and the Little House books that came later, what are some of the bigger differences? I've been mentioning that they're a little bit more adult, a little grittier and darker. What are some of the major differences?
Well, I think the first major difference is that Pioneer Girl was written for adult readers, and it was also written in first person. So it is very clearly nonfiction. Wilder's Little House books are fiction. They're written in third-person point of view from Laura's perspective, and that voice of Laura ages as she grows up, from a little girl in the big woods of Wisconsin until the series ends when the fictional Laura is 18 and married to Almanzo Wilder. So the voice is very different in the Little House books versus Pioneer Girl, and of course the audiences are different. That's a major distinction between these works. But beyond that, Wilder was telling the story of her life, Pioneer Girl, and so she included episodes, she included experiences in her life that she felt were inappropriate for her fiction, that didn't thematically fit the depiction that she was making of the fictional Ingalls family. So, for example, the real Ingalls family, instead of continuing to move west as their fictional counterparts do, at one point, after the grasshopper plague in Minnesota, they actually move east to Burr Oak, Iowa. And at this point in the Real family's life, I think they hit rock bottom financially. And Wilder pulls no punches about this in Pioneer Girl. And the family, the Real family, moves east to help manage a hotel in Burr Oak. That scheme falls apart. Charles Ingalls struggles to make ends meet. At one point, the family's neighbors, I think, are very much aware of the dire financial straits the family finds themselves in, and a prominent family, the wife of one of Burr Oak's physicians, actually approaches Caroline Ingalls about adopting Laura. Of course, Caroline Ingalls dismisses the idea at once, but I think that's a very revealing moment in Pioneer Girl. And not long thereafter, the Ingalls family leaves town. They skip town without paying the rent. Now, of course, Wilder provides a very compelling reason in Pioneer Girl for Pa's decision to sneak the family out of town under the cover of darkness. But the fictional Charles Ingalls would never have done that. And then the family returns to Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and they live in town. So there's this whole section in Pioneer Girl where the Real Ingalls family aren't living off the land and pursuing that kind of pioneer dream that we associate with the fictional family. They're townsfolk working very, very hard to scrape together a living.
The Burr Oak episode is very interesting, as you mentioned, Pa Ingalls, the family skipping out at night, but also just they're living in a hotel next to a saloon. They're around domestic violence and drunks. It's not a very pretty scene.
No, it's not a pretty scene, but there are a couple of things I do want to say about the publicity Pioneer Girl has received about being far grittier than the Little House books. I think it's important for us to remember a couple of things here. It's not simply that Laura Ingalls Wilder was writing for children in the Little House books. She actually discussed the reason why she didn't want to include the Burr Oak episodes in the Little House series with her daughter, Rose Wilder Lane. We have an explanation in some existing correspondence, and she felt very clearly that the Burr Oak episodes didn't fit thematically with the ideas that she wanted to present in the Little House books. So it wasn't so much that she was worried about the gritty adult nature of the family's life in Burr Oak and later in Walnut Grove. It was more that it didn't fit with the greater kind of archetypal themes that she was building for the book. The other thing, too, that we often forget is that Wilder was writing in the 1930s and 1940s, when the conventions of children's literature were very different than they are today. Today, children's book writers can deal head-on with issues of child abuse, divorce, alcoholism, all of those kind of darker issues that we see in Pioneer Girl. But when Laura Ingalls Wilder was writing in the 1930s and 1940s, those kinds of issues were not accepted. And in fact, if you go back and read the Little House books, particularly from on the shores or by the shores of Silver Lake on, Wilder is dealing with more adult stuff. And she actually uses that phrase, adult stuff. And she had to argue with Rose about including that material. At one point, Rose suggested that Laura Ingalls Wilder switch main characters and move from Laura as the main character to Carrie, because she didn't feel that readers in the late 30s and early 40s, young readers in the 30s and 40s, were prepared for an adolescent girl like Laura who is dealing with more adult material. So even though the Little House books may seem tame to us by today's standards, Wilder was pushing the creative envelope in the late 30s and 1940s when she completed the Little House series.
Now, in talking about Pa Ingalls, Laura Ingalls Wilder's father, are the portrayals of him and I guess her mother as well much different in Pioneer Girl than in the Little House books?
There are some subtle differences. Charles Ingalls still emerges as heroic in Pioneer Girl. In fact, we do know Wilder has mentioned in speeches and in letters that one of the reasons she wanted to write about her past was to save her father's story. So it's very clear that in real life, Laura Ingalls Wilder certainly idolized her father. And his depiction is fairly similar in Pioneer Girl, although he's just a bit rougher around the edges. As I've already mentioned, he skips town without paying the rent. But he was also very civic-minded. The real Charles Ingalls served on the school boards, was a justice of the peace. He was a founder of a church. So he was a kind of noble pioneer character in real life as well as in Wilder's fiction. Caroline Ingalls in Pioneer Girl, I think, comes through as a bit less soft. She has, in many ways, a more active role. What's really interesting is some of the scenes that Ma has in Pioneer Girl, where she plays an important role in the family or helps Laura reach a decision or plays a more active role. Pa takes on those roles in the fiction. So I think for readers who are really interested in Caroline Ingalls, they'll see a slightly different picture here.
One thing about Pa Ingalls, though, he's still the fun-loving guy playing the violin and entertaining the family. That's there in Pioneer Girl as well.
Oh, very much so. Charles Ingalls was a fiddle player. And one of the things that is consistent between Pioneer Girl and the Little House books is the important role that music played in their lives. And she quotes extensively from the music and songs of the period that she grew up with in Pioneer Girl, and almost all of them find their way into the Little House books.
What about the image of Laura herself? Is she essentially the same girl in Pioneer Girl that she is in the Little House books?
The Laura in Pioneer Girl is very similar to the fictional Laura. However, Laura in Pioneer Girl is perhaps not quite as adventurous. She is certainly less sheltered. One of the things that I think is really charming about Pioneer Girl is that we see that the real Laura Ingalls was far more interested in the opposite sex than the fictional Laura was. The real Laura Ingalls, for example, had more beaux and was much more interested in romance than her fictional counterpart.
That's an interesting part of the book is you get to when she starts courting, you can see some how that all worked, what that was like in the late 1800s.
Yes, yes. And, of course, you see that as well in the Little House books, particularly in the last two novels. But Wilder paints a much more vivid picture of courtship and what we would call dating in Pioneer Girl than she does in the Little House books. There was a very active social scene for young men and women in DeSmet, Dakota Territory in the early 1880s.
You're listening to the Dakota Midday Book Club from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Pamela Smith-Hill about Laura Ingalls Wilder's Pioneer Girl, the annotated autobiography, first written some 85 years ago, was published for the first time last fall by the South Dakota Historical Society Press. The first printing of Pioneer Girl sold out in just a couple of weeks. The book hit number 2 on the New York Times bestsellers list last month. It was also a top seller on Amazon. And Pamela, were you surprised by the success of Pioneer Girl?
I have been very surprised by the success of Pioneer Girl. It's not that I didn't foresee that Wilder fans would be really interested in this book. It's just that this particular volume is an academic book, and it's filled with annotations that place Wilder's work in a historical and literary context. I had no idea that so many readers craved this kind of depth and this kind of scholarly examination into Wilder's life, that certainly surprised me.
We have a comment and a question from a listener, and the comment is about Pioneer Girl is that this is clearly the definitive work of the life of Laura Ingalls Wilder. Every page is fascinating reading, and thank you for your contribution to history. This is exhaustive and a pure delight. I grew up on the Little House books and the television series, and this is the ultimate finishing touch. The question,
wow.
Thank
you.
The question is, how long did it take to complete this project?
Well, I formally began working on the project in late 2009, early 2010. But I have to say, the project would have taken me much longer if I hadn't done so much extensive research earlier when I wrote Laura Ingalls Wilder, A Writer's Life, which was published in 2007. So I had already visited the Herbert Hoover Presidential Library, for example, which has a huge archive of Wilder and Lane material. I had spent a great deal of time already in DeSmit working with their archives and at Rocky Ridge Farm in Mansfield, Missouri, where Wilder wrote Pioneer Girl and all her Little House books. And they, too, have a great deal of archival material. And when I wrote Writer's Life, I read the rough draft version of Pioneer Girl. In fact, I read all the existing versions of Pioneer Girl at the time. And because I had spent so much time with the rough draft version of the manuscript, that gave me a head start on Pioneer Girl. Still, it took me 4 years to work on this manuscript. The project much, much larger than I have envisioned when I first went into this project.
Another question, what were some of your most significant challenges in putting together Pioneer Girl?
For me, the major challenge was just the magnitude of the work. When you think about it, Pioneer Girl, the rough draft manuscript, has a little over 200 pages. It's a very short manuscript, but she used that manuscript to write 9 novels. So from those 200 pages sprang a whole collection of novels, each coming in at about 200 or 300 pages. So Pioneer Girl itself is very dense. For example, I might have 3 or 4 annotations in one sentence. So almost every sentence, almost every paragraph required multiple annotations and multiple research. So for me, that was the big challenge, just working through the manuscript almost line by line and looking at its historical and literary connections.
Here's a question from Catherine, and she asks, what did you learn about Laura that you didn't know before?
Good question. As I mentioned, I read Pioneer Girl the first time back in probably 2006 when I was working on the biography of Wilder. And for me, that's when I made my biggest revelations. And some of the revelations were relatively small, but as a Wilder fan myself, it was very jarring. For example, spoiler alert here, I found out that Jack the Brindle Bulldog, for example, didn't follow the Ingalls family all the way to Plum Creek. Pa traded him along with his horses for a new team back in Indian Territory. And when I read that passage in Pioneer Girl, I had to stop and reread the passage again and again, thinking that I had read it wrong because, you know, the manuscript was written on tablet paper and pencil, and I was looking at it on microfilm. Surely I had misread this passage. So for me, things like that were really illuminating. And they showed me that Wilder was indeed a master at fiction writing, that she could create such believable and authentic characters that sprang from her life, but she breathed new life into them. For example, Mr. Edwards, he too is largely a fictional character. And there are many depictions throughout Pioneer Girl that illustrate just how masterful Wilder was at writing fiction and creating believable characters, settings, and scenes that have such realism that it's hard to envision that they could be anything but real, and yet they were fiction.
One of the things that really struck me in Pioneer Girl was Lorraine Wilder's description, and maybe it's because I'm from this area, up around Brookings in the Lakes area, DeSmet over there, her description of the wildlife, of nature. I found that she had just a brilliant way of really evoking that.
I totally agree. And you can see that all the way through Pioneer Girl, and particularly as Wilder, I think, became more comfortable with a long-form narrative. Remember that her experience before Pioneer Girl was primarily in writing short newspaper columns. But you can see in Pioneer Girl that she becomes more comfortable with writing longer passages and more descriptive scenes as she goes deeper into her autobiography. And her descriptions of the prairie landscape and the wildlife, the flora and fauna there are beautiful. And even though this is a rough draft version of her manuscript, it's very clear that she had strong and deep creative talent when she was writing about the natural world.
These stories come from a time over a century ago, and Lorraine Wilder wrote these books 80-some years ago, 70-some years ago. What is it about these stories, about her writing, that still resonates all these years later?
I think that's kind of the million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. Why is she still relevant? I think the first answer that comes to mind, and perhaps many of your listeners would share, is that the Little House books present kind of an archetypal pioneer family. They're courageous. They're hardworking. They have a great deal of love for each other. They have this vision of always moving west, of looking for the promised land, looking for a place where they can set down roots and have a happier, better life. So I think that's part of it. But I've also come to believe that the reason the books have endured is because of Wilder's voice. She has this unique and beautiful voice. It's deceptively simple, and yet it has such power and beauty. And as I mentioned earlier, the voice matures as Laura, the fictional character, matures. And that's a very difficult and skillful accomplishment to make. It's not easy. Not every writer can age a character so believably and age the voice as well. And so the voice has its own kind of power, its own kind of lyricism. It's almost like prose poetry in some instances. And then there's the character of Laura herself, the fictional character. She's resourceful. She's strong. She's hardworking, creative, she's fierce, she's loyal, and yet she's also flawed. Unlike her sister Mary, who is for the most part perfect, Laura is a flawed character, and yet readers love her because of those character flaws, in spite of those character flaws. And I think that is one reason why the character of Laura still speaks to generations of readers all these years later.
I'm wondering if readers around the world and around this country get different things out of these books. I don't know if it's easy to answer this, but I'm wondering if people that grew up in, say, DeSmet get something different from the books compared to, say, someone in Boston or someone reading a French translation in Paris.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think this is another reason why the books have such enduring power, is because the voice, although it is very strong and dynamic, it breathes. And because there are breaths between the words and between the scenes, readers can bring their own interpretations to the work. They can bring their own experiences into the work. So readers have many different reasons why they find Laura Ingalls Wilder's work so meaningful and so powerful and enduring. It is because that voice allows readers to inject their own ideas and their own interpretations into the text.
Are there many other books for young adults published in the 30s and 40s that are still in print and still read?
Yes, there are. I think Wilder's books are somewhat exceptional. One of her first editors called the Little House books the books that no depression could stop. But there are several books that are still in print. Caddy Woodlawn, for example, Johnny Tremaine. I have an author Facebook page, and right now I'm doing classic children's books and talking about a new title every week, and there are several from the 1940s. But Wilder has this kind of enduring quality that even a book like Johnny Tremaine or Caddy Woodlawn don't quite achieve. And I think perhaps it is because the Little House books are a series, and because readers can follow the main character from her early childhood to adolescence, I think that's one of the distinctions between the Little House books and those other primarily Caldecott and Newbery winning books that are still in print from the 40s.
We just have a couple of minutes left, Pamela Smith-Hill. I'm wondering for you, and I probably should have asked this earlier, but I'm wondering if you remember the first time you read the Little House on the Prairie books.
Yes. In fact, the very first book I read was Little Town on the Prairie. As you mentioned before, I grew up in the Missouri Ozarks. I was about 40 minutes away from Rocky Ridge Farm, where Lauren Goswilder wrote Pioneer Girl and the Little House books. And I knew even then I wanted to be a writer, and I was quite a bookworm. And our neighbor, Opal Scott, said, "Hey, has Pam read the Little House books? You know, they were written by this woman who lived, you know, down at Mansfield." So I immediately went to the bookmobile. We lived out in the country, and my mom drove me to the bookmobile, and the first book I took off the shelf was Little Town on the Prairie, and I was hooked right away. And the very next year, my family took me to Rocky Ridge Farm for the first time, and I know exactly the date that I was there because I wrote about the visit in my very first diary. And what I remember most was seeing Wilder's handwritten manuscripts on display in her house. They weren't in the museum then, they were in her house, and I was profoundly touched and affected and thought, maybe somebody from Missouri can go on to have a writing career.
It must have been a wonderful experience then as a writer and a scholar to now, years later, to be able to just dig in and just research and learn so much about this woman whose books you admired as a youngster.
It's been a very satisfying experience and an unexpected one. I could never have known when I stood in front of those display cabinets in Lauren Goswilder's kitchen back in, it was 1965. I could never have envisioned the kind of work that I would be doing now. And I think my younger self would be thrilled, because I certainly am now.
Pamela Smith-Hill is the editor of Laura Ingalls Wilder's Pioneer Girl, the annotated autobiography. It's published by the South Dakota Historical Society Press. And Pamela, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday. This has been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much, Carl.